The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies.
1, 2, 3.
Boner.
I don't know shit about fuck.
Fucker.
I like sucking, but I ain't gay.
Legit bad podcast.
Fuck those honkies.
Oh, yeah.
Kick ass.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
He really knows how to suck a wiener.
Welcome back to another Legit Bat Podcast. I'm Joe. Jen's here. Ben and Lenny are here. And our guest is Matthew Basile. Did I say that right? Is it Basil or Basile?
He said more of the Italian pronunciation. I go by Basil, which was how it's raised. Yeah.
That's how white people would say it. I like it.
Yeah. It was Americanized a couple generations ago, and I never felt inclined to change it. So,
why?
Fair enough.
Dude, start out by telling us who you are and what you do. So Matthew actually emailed me because he just released a book. So why don't you tell us about what you do over there?
Yeah, I'm a storyteller. I've probably told stories in every single medium out there you can think of. But I just released my first novel, which is a fictional story. It's a sci-fi story with some fantasy elements, called Dreaming, which is available on Barnes & Noble's website as well as Amazon in both electronic and paperback format. But I released that because I was trying to express some things that I had come across in my personal journey. And I believe storytelling and narrative is a very magical way to get across certain ideas. So that was, and that's always, at least, well, not always, but I guess within the past 10 years, it's always been kind of my aim with my storytelling and stuff like that I do.
That is a pretty age-old, idea to get across the point in a fictional way. So it's called Dreaming. So what, give us a breakdown kind of maybe not necessarily a storyline. I don't want to spoil it for people who want to read it, but what are the ideas you're trying to get across in the book?
Well, I mean, the synopsis on the back of the book basically says that it takes place in a distant solar system where, and I'm going to tell you what's in the story, and I'm assuming your listeners and you would probably get where what things I'm trying to say what this is, which is why I was very excited to come on the show, because some of the other shows I do to promote the book, I can't really go into this stuff without them starting to give me googly eyes and...
You can go into whatever you want.
Right. I figured I can go whenever we want. So I figured, yes, this is for the people who, can look a little deeper into the story. Okay, so it takes place in a distant solar system where all the planets are populated, all have different governments, but they're all overseen by a order called the Way of the Light. So it's kind of like a Catholic Church in medieval times, meaning that, each planet's sovereign, but they have to answer to the Way of the Light, which is a spiritual order run by a being of light called the Spark that has this kind of doctrine that's that everyone tries to follow to find basically twin flame status, which is immortality. And there's a mercenary in this who basically is rejected by society, and he has certain gifts left over from a cult that he was a member of. And he killed off the entire cult, but he still uses their gifts to do his mercenary trade. He's hired to find somebody for a special job. He goes, and she's completely fractured mind. She seems to slip in and out of reality, and he doesn't know what to do with her. And basically, because she's so out there, and she has no memories, and so he eventually is discovered that she can dream like no other. In this world, dreaming is not exactly what we would think of in normal quote unquote normal world. Dreaming is done not when you sleep, but when you experience sexual ecstasy or an orgasm. And the dreaming that they do is like a trance. It can, they can look inside themselves, or they could see certain things about themselves. It's like a lucid dreaming or like a psychedelic trance almost. However, she goes a step further with it and gets you to other kind of beyond reality.
Crazy. That sounds like the start of a great sci-fi series for Hulu or something.
Hey, if Hulu wants to turn into a sci-fi series, I won't argue with it. That could help pay the bills quite nicely.
You said that this is, your view of it is less normal, or the way that we would think of it. But the way that I think of dreaming is definitely not normal, because I think that we actually go, possibly, I don't necessarily know this, but I feel like my dreams are memories. The way that I remember them, it's more like a memory and less like a thought that I had, because I can remember doing things and feeling things that are so different from when you have a thought about something.
But you feel it's normal in the dream too.
But yeah, but I'd never go back and be like, oh yeah, I remember this thought that I had last year where I was thinking about that. You don't think like that. But I remember dreams I had years ago because it feels like something that I did. So I've theorized that maybe we're popping into other dimensions or other people's bodies or consciousnesses, and maybe experiencing what they experience. And that's why we don't remember our world here, but we know exactly what to do when we're in the dream. Like, we know what some weird device does, even though we've never seen it before. And then we wake up and go, what the hell was that? But at the time, we have these odd memories. I don't know. So I'm definitely in your boat with it.
that's essentially what it is in the story, that they discover kind of throughout. I could write sequels to it, and that would go more into that depth there. I didn't want to throw everything at the readers, but yes, that's exactly essentially what they're doing in dreaming. They think it's like just like I that's why I used to quotes with the normal, like, you know, we all say, oh, it's a subconscious and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, you're really traveling into other realms, other dimensions. You're astral traveling, you're getting messages. There's probably some story now, maybe, I don't know. You know, I mean, nobody really, even science will, if you buy a scientist, psychologist, or someone who's studying dreaming into a part, they'll say they don't know what dreaming is. And I, even in this week, I've had two separate nights I've had where I was in a dream and I realized it was a dream, somehow was able to shut down the dream, and then astral traveled to somewhere for a few minutes. I have no idea where it was, and then, you know, came back again. So there's clearly more that's going on with dreaming than, you know, what the standard science is telling us, which is one of the reasons that it's called dreaming and that I wrote the book.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ben, we cut you off there. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to be stupid and tell him that if he has a Hulu deal, tell him that he's already got a bunch of people ready to cast.
I will do that.
We're not actors, but we can pretend to be.
I mean, honestly, it's so, I you know, came from a film background. We can make legit bad a production company so easily. It's really easy to turn into a production company. You just sell the rights. We could all make money off it.
Yeah. I like that.
So legit bad production cast.
Yeah. Bad Dicks Incorporated. So talk about going lucid. Is that something you can do frequently or on purpose? Because I know they make little devices. We've seen there's like face masks that have LED lights in them, and it's set to go off at a certain time and like strobe red lights at you or something. It's supposed to kind of wake you up in your dream without waking you up fully so you can be lucid. But I would be scared because I would have to know I'm in the dream to be like, I'm going to jump off this building because I can fly because it's my dream. Knowing me, I would actually just be awake and being retarded and drunk and jump off my roof. So is that something you've experienced a lot?
No, this is the first week I've ever experienced it. And actually, the first time it happened, there was another time it happened, and I had a thought like, oh, I'll just go on astral project. I don't know why it popped into my head. And I felt like it lift out of my body. I was like, no, shit. I was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm going to let it get lost in the wherever I'm going here. Pull me back. Get me back.
What did it look like?
What did it look like?
I had a dream one time last year that I astral traveled. And it was bright blue. I remember there was a lady, I was sitting on a bed, and that she was like my captor. Like I couldn't leave. And she was teaching me how to astral travel, but she was like a witch or something weird. I don't remember. But anyway, she made me astral travel, but I was already dreaming. And in this dream, I looked outside and I saw trees, and then they turned bright blue. And I realized I was astral traveling and I was going into this other dimension, and I did what you did. I was like, shit, 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 shit. I don't know where I'm going. This is scary. Get back. So I did the same thing.
Yeah. That's actually what happened. That happened, and I woke up and like, I couldn't even like move my body at first, and then everything, like, I got really freaked out. And then like a couple of nights later, it happened again. I felt it starting, and like, I kind of like, my eyes were closed and I wanted to open them because I was like out of the dream at this point, but like still in a dream state. And I kept getting this feeling in the back of my head, like, don't open them, don't open them. And I was like, okay, what do you want to show me? And then I started feeling myself pull out. I said, I don't know how to get back. So you got to show me how to get back. And then like, I just said this in my head, and then I could see myself in blue. Like you said, my body still lying in the bed in blue. And then I was out in the window and I was above like trees and stuff like that in the blue there. And you know, I went into some kind of town building and then it was over with.
Do you remember hearing a sound or anything when you popped out of your body? Because I've heard different people say you feel a vibration or something, and then you can feel kind of, or hear a like kind of sound. Did you?
I didn't. I do say that it came from like the center, because I have heard people say that when some people can see, supposedly they claim, and I don't doubt them, that they can see when a soul, like when someone passes on, they can see a soul removed from the body. And some have said it comes from the top of the head, some have said it comes from the chest. When I came out, I could feel it coming out of my like chest, but I didn't hear any sound or anything like that.
That's actually something I was just about to ask too, is that the vibration thing that Joe just mentioned, I've heard people say that it almost feels like their heart stopped for a second, and then when they left, they felt more free. Same thing I've heard about it with heads, where you might, as you're trying to leave, feel a slight headache feeling. And then once you're out, the headache leaves because you're no longer being affected by the physical body. And in a lot of ways, that part is terrifying, because you're basically leaving what you're connecting back to and everything that you know just there. And so you feel super free, more clear-headed, no pain. And then the idea is, well, what's going to happen to me while I'm, you know, flitter-flighting away? And then when you actually come back in, it's almost a searing, not a searing pain, but more painful than leaving, because you are going back into adopting the physical essence of what that headache or heart palpitation or anything like that could be. Is there anything like that you experienced?
I didn't experience it. I experienced like when I left, like what you described, that feeling free, because I had another under a certain substance. I had another experience.
No.
Where I did it. We won't go into details, but where I did kind of feel like I was like leaving, like in reality and everything. Mm-hmm. And that was extremely painful. It was actually the most pain I ever experienced in my life. And this one, like, so that's why, part of the reason I think why I was scared. And
sure,
this one was like, you had that feeling of relief when I was out. Like, I was like, oh, wow, this feels really good. This is awesome. Like, this isn't anything like what I remember experiencing. And, but when I came in, it was actually, I don't even recall going in. It's just like, that's what makes me sometimes doubt that maybe what I'm doing. But like, I definitely feel a sensation of me leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come back in, it's just like, I'm just like I leave the scene, and then I just like kind of like open my eyes, and it's just like kind of waking up from a dream. Like,
did you feel heavier or anything like that? Like weight, any kind of thing like that?
No, I don't recall ever feeling the heaviness or the weight or anything like that. I felt the weight. I feel the weight leaving me when I pop out, and you just kind of feel very like light and just airy, and you're just like, okay, I'm like, you know,
just the massive ghost boner.
Yeah, but I will say this: when you're there, though, I mean, the personality is still the same. Like my personality thoughts, like, it's not like I was like suddenly like, oh, I'm a different person. I don't have an ego or anything like that. That didn't happen.
I can see all of time.
Yeah, I can see all of time, and everything's beautiful and wonderful, and all the world's perfect. That's never happened to me.
I've heard a lot of people say too, when they've done that, as well as like NDEs and stuff, that when it's the opposite of a almost like a fear or alter ego driven experience, it's that actual release of the alter ego and everything that you're leaving behind. In a lot of ways, it's like, fuck, dude, I don't want to go back. And it's not because
like you said, it's not because you're ascended or anything like that in that moment. It's just the idea that for a very short amount of time, you realize there is nothing holding me to this space. And I think that's a lot of, and this is something that I get trapped into, because virtually all three of the other people, now four of the other people on this screen, they dream actually frequently. They dream vividly. I don't dream almost at all. And when I do dream, it's not vivid. And when I do remember them, it's usually not very much of it. But
that's because you're an NPC,
you fucker. But it's interesting to me, because I remember Joe years ago, I think he had to have been like 12, was telling me a crazy dream when we woke up, and we were raised in a Baptist home. So a lot of what we dreamed about had to do with our experience, whether it be going to church, seeing somebody at church, blah, blah, blah. And I remember him saying, like, I got caught right in the middle of knowing that I was dreaming, and we were sitting in the auditorium of our current church listening to the pastor. And I all of a sudden thought, I'm dreaming. But instead of pulling myself out of it, he goes, I started doing things that I would never actually do in church, like getting up, jumping on the pews, running around, getting in people's faces. I came up and started like yelling at the pastor just to see what would happen. And I did that for a couple of minutes, and then I woke up, and I'm like, I can't do that. Like, mine is much more the sleep paralysis. If I'm in a dream, it's taken me on a ride. I got no control over anything that's going on. And every time that I realize I'm dreaming, or I try to project the outcome, whether it be mentally or consciously, I immediately wake up and it's lost. The only thing that I know how to do is quickly go smoke a cigarette, try to go back to sleep and re-enter the dream. And then it never fucking ends the way that I was hoping it would.
Ooh, speaking of that, Jen actually had a dream the other day that she continued. But before we get to that, so when you're talking about not knowing how to get back when you're in the dream, have you ever noticed the silver cord they talk about that's supposedly connected to your solar plexus between your astral and physical self, and that it doesn't, like, that's what keeps you bound to your body. And that's why if you don't even know how to get back and you wake up, you automatically get like whooshed back into your body. Do you see that at all?
No, but I mean, maybe that's what was pulled me back, and it automatically whooshed me back because I didn't know how to get back. But no, I didn't actually, like I said, I didn't see it. It was just the landscape and everything like that, and the people that I saw. I didn't see any cord. And like you said, I don't know how to get back. I didn't really know what I was doing or where I was going. There was no real control that I was having. So
would you consider that an actual lucid dream then, or just a really vivid dream? Because I think I've got close to both.
Yeah, I don't know, in all honesty. I personally felt like it was some kind of spiritual soul travel, just from the feelings I got. But at the same time, I know that there's people who can claim that, you know, they can control themselves and they can push out their astral selves and they can, you know, navigate wherever they want to go. So I don't know if it was me just testing the waters of that, or or whether it was just a very, very vivid dream. I've had some dreams too where I, you know, kind of feel like there's something else there, you know, that I'm somewhere, you know, where that is, I'm not sure, but I'm somewhere. This one felt a little different than that, but again, I have no idea what I was looking at while I was flying around, and I have no idea. I didn't see the cord. And I didn't control myself for, you know, to go out or to come back in. It felt like, you know, something was just kind of happening.
Yeah, that's the weird part too, because we talk about this all the time, but that when you wake up from a dream, no matter how vivid, I mean, the more vivid, the worse it is, or better, whatever. But when you wake up, you still carry that feeling of the dream. Whatever you experienced that dream and what you were feeling, I will carry that for like half a day sometimes. And I'm still kind of like flashing back and forth between my dream and my job. And I'm like, I don't even remember what happened in the dream. I just have that feeling of whatever happened. And then I'll get flashes of what happened. I'm like, oh, yeah.
It's because of all of the emotions that are attached to dreams. That's what makes me think there's a lot more to dreams than just watching a picture of a thought in your head or watching something transpire. You're feeling all of the same things that you would feel in that moment. And that's why we remember it, because it was like we experienced something incredibly different than what our normal life is. And it doesn't match. And then we wake up and try to go to work after we just climbed a mountain or saved someone's life or got kidnapped, whatever your dream is. it's a completely different thing than would ever happen here in a normal day. So
yeah, or shot bin Laden. Like, it's a great feeling. It just sucks to go throughout your, no, I'm joking. What you guys were just saying though, that I've only ever had that happen a couple of times, and Lene and I have talked about it, and she's like, that's part of the thing. Like, when you have a series or even whatever of some horrible dreams, and then you try to wake up and like function throughout your day, and you're actually remembering it, but the feelings of whatever you may remember or not remember are just so attached right then and there that it's like, dude, it's hard to like reset your day in this reality and try to, you know, continue on like a normal human being.
You know, trying to constantly tell yourself, can't fly, I'm in a car.
Take some mushrooms, can't fly. The only time that I had a, like, an emotional, like, wake up, I think I was in my late teens, and there was this girl that I had grown up with. Joe, you remember Jeanette Paramo?
Oh, yeah.
So, for whatever reason, I had not heard about, seen, talked to this girl in, like, 10 years, but we grew up together, we were in diapers together, we watched Barney together, our older siblings knew each other, and, like, she was born, I think, like, 6 days after me. We were really close growing up, kind of like a twin sister, and I hadn't seen or talked to her in years. Well, I had this really vivid dream about seeing her at the local mall that we were in and just kind of saying hi and being like, oh my gosh, I miss you. I haven't seen you. And in the dream, it was really weird because I hadn't, in normal life, I hadn't thought about this chick in years. But when I woke up, there was this really, really strong connection to like make sure she was okay. And I didn't follow up with it after I got through about halfway throughout my day, and I was like, it's just a fucking dream. And then 3 or 4 days later, I ended up getting a message from her on social media. Oh, hey, I just saw you as like a suggested friend. How have you been? I haven't seen you in like a decade. And I was all, well, and of course, this was, you know, 13 years ago. So I'm 13, 14 years ago. So at the time, I just remember going, well, that's a weird coincidence. And then after the last 2.5 years of podcasting and all the wild shit that I have heard, I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, I wouldn't have never recognized that back then. Not even a little bit. I didn't think a second thought of it, but I remember that very clearly, the emotional connection, bypassing it instantly, and then a couple of days later having had her reach out on the opposite end without me, you know, even thinking another thought about it.
I'm glad you went in that direction with it, because that's a great segue into the different types of dreams. Because like we were talking about, there's some super vivid, some you're pretty sure you're lucid and you know what you're doing and you can do whatever you want. And then there's other ones that just seem like a random ass story that just plays for no reason. And then you try to dissect it in the morning. You're like, nope, that was just stupid shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
And other ones, like Ben was talking about, like synchros or prophetic type dreams. And there's tons of different stories. If you go on Reddit, I mean, you can find all kinds of stories about people having prophetic dreams, and whether they're verifiable or not is up to you. But I know I've heard enough stories now where I'm like, why would somebody make up that random story? I mean,
right,
mate. But what do you think about the different types of dreams? Do you think that's a real thing? Like, do you think sometimes we are actually going somewhere else, and then other times it's literally symbolic or prophetic or something like that?
You're asking me, right?
I
personally ascribe to, yeah, that is, I think there's a various to dreams. I think some dreams are the subconscious, you know, working through our day and stuff like that. I've seen examples of that in my own dreams. However, you know, you can go down a rabbit hole and say, well, what is the subconscious really? And what are we really working through? And, you know, what is that we, you know, how much of it is our projection that is then being reflected and everything like that. I do think though, there are dreams that are going to other places that are maybe visions of something else, you know, outside of the matrix that we're in right now. And I also think prophetic dreams can occur too, to some degree. I think they're you know, have to be taken with a grain of salt, but I had one when I was a kid. I had a dream and I remember it still to this day. I mean, I was walking down the stairs of my house, like I said, I was a kid, and I saw my mother and my brother like on the floor, and my mother is upset because she's trying to fix this like Christmas decoration that my brother broke, and you know, she's trying to fix that. And that was all I remember of the dream. I guess a week or two later, my brother broke that very Christmas decoration, and I never told my brother or anybody about that dream. I just said, and I was like, I dreamed it. And of course, my mom was like, yeah, sure, whatever. It's just, yeah, ignore me as a kid. So, you know, what is a kid now? But yeah, so I do believe that there is that kind of prophetic dreams as well, too.
Yeah, and like something like that, that kind of shit drives me nuts. When you have a dream that comes true, but it's something that's so stupid that you're like, why? What?
Why did I prophesize that of all things?
Yeah, warn me about a bus that's going to hit me next week. You know what I
mean? When I was little, I had a dream similar. I had a dream. There was that show Dinosaurs that came out.
Yeah.
In the 90s. And I really wanted to watch it. I was really little. And I had a dream that I got grounded at school for whatever reason. And then I wasn't allowed to watch it. But that at the very last minute, my parents let me watch it. So that very next day, that's when the show was airing and my parents were going out that night. So I'm like, oh, I'm golden. I'm good. And I got to school and I forgot my freaking backpack. So I had to call my parents and be like, hey, mom, I forgot my backpack. I was in like fourth grade or something. And she's like, you're grounded. I'm like on the phone in the office and I'm like, no fucking way, I'm grounded. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm good. Like, they'll let me at the last minute. So my dumbass told my parents. I was like, well, I had a dream that you let me watch it at the last minute. And they're like, well, guess what? Now you're definitely not watching it at all. So, but they did. They were like, well, we're going out anyway, and we can't stop you. So fine, you can go watch it. And they did let me watch it at the last minute. But it was stupid. It's like the dumbest, most lame superhero in the world. Being able to prophesize ridiculous shit.
I know, and that's the same thing. I know we've told on the show before, so I'm very sorry if I'm repeating myself, but it's going to happen.
You doing the Yoshi one?
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to do the quick.
It's still two. Who cares?
I know. But this is for Matthew, not the listeners. Thank you, guys. Right. So we had this level in Super Mario that we just could not fucking pass and could not figure out how to do this thing to get this key in the hole and whatever. So it's probably just my brain was working it out in my sleep, but I had a dream of exactly how to do it. And I woke up and was like, dude, I just had a dream of how to do this. We had to turn it on immediately and it fucking worked the first time. I'm like, so that's either my brain just figuring stuff out in my sleep or,
right.
I mean, that's all I can make.
So if time is really a construct, again, just a theory, and everything's all happening all at once, all at the same time, every possibility, who's to say it's prophetic or not? What if we're dreaming of something that already happened and will happen at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
Joe woke up like a dead dude in a morgue. It was hilarious because we had this bunk bed set that could be taken apart like this, that was wood and separated so that it was two twins. And we had just done that. And I remember he just woke up like right out of the bed, just sat up like this with his eyes wide. And he's like, dude, I'm all what? He goes, I think I know how to beat that level. And I'm all what? And he goes, I just had a dream. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but we can try. Aced it his first time. We had been stuck on this thing for like 2.5 hours, ready to throw the wired controllers at our old TV. And we got up and he just did it and we continued on. And my mom was like, no, you're not playing video games before school. And Joe's like, well, I just wanted to see if it worked.
It's Tuesday at 7:30. Get off the TV.
Before school. School was at their kitchen table, by the way, 5 feet away.
It was a cabin. Yeah, I wasn't going to cap out that one.
Before school, it's a little different. It's not like they had a bus to catch.
In my PJ.
Definitely. Play fucking
but before games. School, we had to read the Bible, you know, because that's how most schools start on.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell them about that dream you had the other day where you continued it and that never happens, where you like got up to pee or something and then went back and you're like, I'm gonna finish this dream.
They warned me I wouldn't be allowed to pee, so it was very interesting. But we had the orgone donor on, so we had put all this orgone all over our house because we had someone on who had sent us some, and he was talking about it, I don't know, like filtering energy and stuff. I don't know that much about it. It was very interesting though. So I don't know if that's why I had this weird dream, but I had a dream I got arrested for something ridiculous. And I was trying to like plead my case because I wasn't there doing that thing. And they're like, listen, we know you did it. We've been watching you forever. And it was, I don't even remember what it was, but I remember that I was innocent. Either way, they were like, there's the area where we're going to take you in a few hours. There's the bathroom. You need to use the bathroom by 6 p.m. because there's no bathroom in there. And I was like, whoa, that's messed up. I'm just going to be in a cell with no toilet. That's crazy. So I was saying bye to Joe for whatever reason. I was like free to walk around this weird cafeteria area and until six when I had to pee and then immediately report to jail. So so I woke up though and I peed in real life because I'm like, oh, I guess I had to pee. So I went back to sleep and I went right back into the dream and was like being escorted past that bathroom. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I knew I was in a dream for a very brief moment. I was lucid and I was like, huh. So I put on my jumpsuit that I was told to put on. It was like this red or pink jumpsuit. And they put us on a boat and we were underground in a cave. So I was on the boat and I remember thinking, this is wild. I'm really here right now. So I made myself, I could feel the wind on my face and I felt this like overwhelming sensation just course through my body because I felt like I was really there. I knew I was there at the time and that I was dreaming. And I looked at this girl, this other inmate that was with me on this boat, and I said, why does this feel so real? And I turned around and there was a huge, it looked like a portal. It was a silver swirling circle. And I said, why is that there? Why is that so beautiful right now? Why can I feel the air on my face? And she looked at me like I was an idiot. She was like, you know this. That's how she was looking at me. And she didn't answer me. She just gave me a weird look. And then a bunch of other very weird stuff happened that I'm not even going to talk about. The baby and the man. Very odd. But that feeling, though, of being on the boat and letting myself feel the wind on my face, it wasn't, to me, it's a memory. It wasn't a thing that I thought about. It was a feeling I had. So I don't know. It's
that,
cool.
Yeah, that's you dreaming about when you were Bonnie with Clyde going to Alcatraz. It ends up being that you find out Joe's face was right over there on your pillow, like while you're dreaming, going,
my wind breath.
He was in the portal.
Facing each other.
So. Joe's head pops out of the portal. He's all.
Oh, I do want to ask you, though, have you ever experienced or tried to experiment with the hypnagogic state right before you fall asleep to see the moment where you enter a dream? I've been trying to do that, where I try to capture the moment where the dreaming starts and the thinking ends.
And that's a hard thing to do because, like, that in between us, I always jerk awake because my body's like, whoa, dude, you're like, I'm trying to go to sleep, but my body's like, no, let's stay awake. So every time I start drifting off, I can start hearing like a dream starting. I can start hearing people talk and like seeing shit. And then my body's like, whoa, wake up. And then I jerk awake and hit her. So it happens almost every night it happens. So anyway, you go continue with that thought.
Well, no, I haven't. Because when we sleep, our brain waves are irregular. They're kind of like someone who would be like schizophrenic, basically. So, you know, you end up going crazy when you're sleeping, which, you know, makes you wonder if the schizophrenics maybe know reality better than we do. But whenever I'm falling asleep, I know I'm about to go to sleep. And when my thoughts start getting real weird and real random and real off the wall, like stuff that I'm not comfortable even saying. Fortunately, most of it I forget. But
hold on, let's talk about that.
No, I'm not. But like, it's funny because I guess that's the closest I get to that in-between state where I'm conscious enough to be like, what the hell thought was that? Where the fuck did that come from? And then I'm like, okay, I guess I'm getting ready to go to sleep. And if I start bringing myself back and be like, okay, wait, trying to figure out where this thought came from, then I come out of the sleep state anyway and I'm back to being awake. So it's better if I just let it go. And then, yeah. So I don't see any of that in-between state myself.
I have a very long in-between state. If I don't drink at all and we just go to bed, there's like a half hour of like in and out of being awake. And I'm perfectly comfortable, like sleep, for all intents and purposes, asleep. But I'm aware that I'm not asleep yet. And that's right. When I hear all the weird shit. I distinctly remember hearing, it sounds like people talking around me. And I'm like, what? And I could hear distinct words. I couldn't tell you what they were, but they were saying stuff. It sounded like an Intel briefing or something.
Being on the roof, I wasn't even dreaming yet. It was that hypnagogic state. And I heard, I was on a roof and I was playing with these squares and they had different symbols in them. And I was installing them on people's roofs for whatever reason. And it was dark. And I heard someone go, 32B, where are you? And I woke up or I snapped out of it and was like, what? Oh, that was weird. That was almost a dream. I just a weird thought.
I've never liked that in between us because that is 90% of, and I 100% agree with Joe, was when I was drinking. I've said it before, I didn't realize how much I was using it to sleep. It wasn't a conscious thing. It was just whenever I didn't drink, I wouldn't get any sleep.
And this was a...
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Affected by the fact that during the trial of the first 6 months that I officially stopped drinking, I thought that it was just going to slowly revert and that my body would get, my mind and my body would get used to not drinking and going to bed. Nope. For like 6 months, it was 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night for weeks on end until my body would crash for like 16 hours. And then I found pot gummies and that worked a lot better. But even still, regardless of whether I have any kind of THC or anything like that now, 2.5 years down the road, that section of time is probably the longest where I can be utterly exhausted, falling asleep on the couch. And the second that I am mentally saying, I'm going to go get in bed, I'm going to brush my teeth, I'm going to take my clothes off, I'm going to get in bed, that next half hour is the worst because I feel like I'm wanting mentally to go to sleep, but there's something consciously in me that is stopping me from doing it. And as soon as I get into that place, it's like my consciousness is going, we're not ready. We got shit to do. And we've talked about this with a few other people of like, if you're not working through things consciously throughout your day, when you're trying to shut down, you're mentally and consciously going, we can't yet. We have something stuck in here and it needs to be solved. It needs to, you know, there needs to be some kind of compromise or
It's the monkey mind.
Nonstop
chattering.
That's why you don't dream, Ben, because you're so bound to this earth and this stuff you have to do that you just won't let it go. I know. But if you let it go, that's why I think Joe and I, if we are, you know, if we have a couple drinks before bed, it is a way easier time to dream. I remember my dreams better. I'm not saying we're getting like shit faced at night, whatever. It's just a couple alcoholic beverages, not over the limit though, you know? But it's way better. But if we go to bed stone sober, I don't dream as often. So I feel like it just loosens your body up a little to let you get into that state and let it go, let your soul go where it wants.
There's other things about it too, like the physiological shift between your dream. Like you're saying, you had a dream about peeing and then you wake up and you actually do have to pee. For dudes, that's an annoying one because it's called a piss boner.
Boner. Hmm.
I've seen that one up. And you wake up and you're just like, oh, good. Now not only do I have to have a fire hose of a piss coming, but then you go to the bathroom. And I know we've talked about this before. You got to beat that boner into submission to get it to tame it down. Otherwise, you're pissing on the wall and shit. So you got to do one of these like lean over things.
Be careful. You can pull out a ligament or something with doing that.
I know.
You rest up your early.
You can literally break a boner.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing that I've always hated about that, Joe, and I know from us being kids that it's happened to both of us, is waking up in the exact spot that you're actually asleep and you're dreaming, but you can't really tell because it feels the exact same as when you wake up in the middle of the night to go pee. And so you're dreaming that you're waking up to go pee and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. So you climb down out of bed. For me, it was the top bunk. walked into the bathroom where I was supposed to go to the bathroom, pulled down my pants, started peeing, and I didn't realize that I was dreaming until I pulled my pants back up. And in my dream, I was no longer peeing, but my clothes were getting now soaked, and it was in a direction that would not be of me standing up. So immediately I bounced awake, and it's kind of like, I've talked about this with a couple of my friends. It's not one I talked to about, but like wet dreams, it's, you always wake up right when it's over. And it's like, because now I got to change and shit. It's not funny. Like, it was the same thing with BP.
That's why your body wakes you up. It's like, all right, you're done. Change now, stupid.
Yeah. I woke up right at the end of my pee, and I was mortified. One, because Joe was on the bunk beneath me, but also because then I had to get up, go get my mom. I was probably like 6 or 7, and I was just in tears. And she was like, why didn't you just get up to go to the bathroom? And I explained it to her. I'm like, no, that's the thing. I thought I was. I had a dream that I was getting up out of the top bunk to go to the exact bathroom. And then I didn't even realize I was dreaming until I pulled my pants back up in the dream and realized I was pissing myself. And my mom was like,
the days before Ben using everything as a toilet as well. That was like a normal place to pee before he used couch cushions or closets or whatever.
We don't talk about those 10 years. Okay.
Yeah. And then there's, what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, so I don't know what kind of dream you would call this, but I've done this several times. And to be fair, we were watching a lot of weird, like sci-fi interdimensional shows. So that probably has to do with it. But I would, several nights in a row, I'd have a dream where I was jumping in and out of different dimensions. And it was totally normal in the dream, of course. But the very last place I jumped, I knew I was like going back to where I started. And as soon as I jumped dimensions, I instantly woke up. So it felt even weirder because then I was back in this dimension, it was real. Like, I jumped from somewhere else to here, and I immediately woke up. And obviously, I couldn't go back to sleep after that, because I was like, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question to all of you guys, because, and I'll answer first for myself, I do not. Do you guys have a propensity to dream about whatever you were thinking about recently, or something you were watching recently? Joe just was talking about watching sci-fi shows. I know a lot of people that they'll start a new job and within 2 or 3 days, they'll start having nightmares about doing everything wrong at this new job. And it's very realistic. I know other people that they'll be watching a show and it's a new show that they watch. They binged, you know, 5, 6 episodes. And then when they go to sleep, they're dreaming that they're in that show. I don't ever do that. My dreams, when I do have them, seem to be not connected to anything. To all of you guys, I kind of want to know, do you guys generally dream about something that was either recent that you watched, experienced, or what have you?
Yeah, I go a variety of dreams, and I dream very vividly. I usually remember at least 1 or 2 a night, if not sometimes more, depending. And yeah, I've dreamed I was in a sitcom that, you know, I'm a fan of before. I've, you know, dreamed stuff from school or work or, you know, over the years, whatever I was doing. And, you know, very vividly, you know, a lot of times with that. So yeah, I've definitely had, that's why I feel like there is something, I think the dreams are between like, so what we're actually experiencing in this life, and then, you know, something else beyond as well too, because I've crossed both many times.
I think that's common for most people. I think most people could say the same. I've done that for sure, where when I was a waitress, I would have dreams that it was crazy busy, or, you know, just whatever, just those dreams about something I was thinking about. Or if I went through a bad breakup as a teenager, I'd dream about that person because I was thinking about them. But most of my most vivid dreams, I will say, are extremely strange, have nothing to do with anything that I was experiencing. I've had multiple dreams about the end of the world, or the end of the world about to happen, and how people responded and reacted, and the interactions I had with them were, it was like solving a problem. And then there have been other dreams where I've had to solve a problem that I definitely have never had in this world. Very odd situations where I was like it was almost like Handmaid's Tale, where I woke up in this place and I realized that every time we went to work, instead of paying us, they were hypnotizing us and then like putting us to sleep and then waking us up to go work again the next day in this underground facility. But that's not, we weren't watching any show that had anything to do with that. I wasn't reading anything about that. It was just very random. So I think most of my dreams do not have to do with daily activities, but sometimes they do because our brains are strange. We don't really know how they work.
Some stranger than others.
What about you, babe? Yeah. Do you dream about things that you were experiencing or thinking of in the frequent past before you go to sleep?
Not in the description you were giving. No. My dreams are much more intense and like another life, another reality, dimension, whatever you want to phrase it as. It's just very intense, very realistic. There are definite identifiable people always. It's never a who's that face, but I know who it's supposed to be. Everyone are who they are. When I was younger, more especially, it would happen frequently. Like, I guess you'd call them prophetic type dreams. Hadn't spoken to someone in however many years. And all of a sudden have a dream a couple days later. They pop out of nowhere. Stuff like that. Yeah, sometimes it can take me a long, long time to get over whatever I was dreaming about and those intense feelings and having to sort through them very slowly to figure out what's based in reality and what's not. That can get very muddled for me with that sometimes. So,
oh, for sure.
That's why pot for me mutes dreams. It doesn't enhance them. And I'm very thankful for that. So.
That's weird because a lot of times in my dreams, there's some, it varies between people that are recognizable and they're the same as they are in this dimension. And then other times when Jen will be in the dream, but doesn't look anything like Jen, but it's Jen. Like, that's what makes me think it's a different dimension because it's like different area, different bodies, but we're still the same people. Yeah.
Now, here's a trip. How fast has that actually morphed in front of your face? Because this happened to me probably a couple months ago now, where I don't remember who it was that I recognized, but they didn't look like they do in this reality. And I remember in my dream being very confused because most of the time that they don't look like the person that they look like here, you just don't really question it. It's more of like I know that that's them. And then you keep on going with the dream and you don't see in the rest of the dream or whatever. This was like they were front and center. I was having a conversation with them. They did not look like they do in this. And so I asked them, I'm like, in the dream, and I'm still so non-lucid, I'm going along for the ride, but I remember asking, like, you don't look like how I remember you the last time I saw you. And I remember immediately, as soon as I questioned it, whoa, shit, their face blanked and then morphed into something else. And my consciousness went, yeah, see, I know that that's you too, but you don't look like you just did. And it happened again into something else. And I went, but I know that that's you. Like, and I remember thinking this in my head through like four or five face changes of just morphing, big beards, clean shaven, different hair, different facial features. But I knew that it was all still the same person in this place that I was talking to them to. And then I woke up and I remember thinking in my head, like, well, that's not normal. And most of the time, if something like that, at least for me, would have happened in any other dream, I would have instantly woken up. But this happened multiple times in a row, and I was just totally fucking okay with it. Like, yeah, no, I know your face changes. It's fine. People morph all the time. Like, no big deal. And then when I woke up, I'm all, what the fuck did I just watch? So, I don't know. I know Joe and I have talked about it before where, yeah, we've definitely seen people that don't look like how they look in this reality, but in our subconscious, at least in the dream state, we know that that's still them, and we don't really question it. Other weird phenomena too, where I remember Joe talking about a dream where he was on a hillside, like a nice green grass hillside, and he saw one of our friends that we knew, and one of the capacities we knew him in was skiing, but on this green grass, Micah Schroeder, he was skiing down.
I gotta block those out.
Why?
I don't know.
Oh. He's skiing on skis down this grass hill. And I remember the next day he's telling me all about this dream, and he goes, the weirdest part was in the dream, I didn't even question the fact that he was skiing in shorts and a t-shirt down a grass hill. I just looked at him and was like, oh yeah, there he is. I know him, and he skis, and he's going down a grass hill. And I'm like, what is it that makes us just initially accept that? But then when we get back in this reality, we know that that wasn't what it was or should have been. I don't know if that's a question for anybody, but go for it.
I was just thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had those instances though where, like, you know, I think everyone has, where you're in a dream and you're just like accepting whatever's, you know, you're presented, and you're not questioning, wait, why am I, like, you know, I've been in dreams where, like, I'm in a different, like, living, like a house or apartment, like, that I've had in my past that I'm not in now, and I'm not questioning, why am I back here? You know, you're not questioning that stuff. So yeah, I, again, maybe it's like Jen said, you know, like, everything, time's a construct, so it's all just, you know, everything's all, you know, compacted. So hey, it's summer and winter at the time that you were there. Yeah. So he was perfectly fine skiing. You just saw both versions of that reality.
And like, when you're dreaming, I imagine possibly that it's similar to when we pass on, when we die, and there's no ego attachment. There's no, there are no boundaries. Nothing's weird because everything just is, and you don't care because you're just floating through. So if dreaming is similar to when we're dead, you wouldn't really care because you wouldn't have the judgment to think that's wrong, because everything is possible when you're dreaming. So there's no, like, there's supposed to be snow here, and why is he wearing shorts? It's cold out. There's no, there's none of those thoughts, because
there's
that
no
all
limitations.
Here, yeah, like here in this earth, like in that. This dimension that we're in right now, that's all, those are all parameters. Those are all things that we think about, but there is no limits when you're dreaming.
I like that answer.
Yeah, I like that answer too. Yeah. Better go. Yeah. I'm going to drop your answer, Jen. I hope you don't mind if anyone asks me.
I don't know.
Now, write another book, fucker.
Yeah, I'm going to write another book with Jen's answer.
You can get partial royalties.
Dreams are like an episode of Rick and Morty every night. Like, you don't know what, and you just accept whatever it is. It's like, oh, this is a different place now. So this is what's happening.
Oh, fuck it.
Yeah, gaga blog blog. The other weird one is, I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, but very vividly having a dream where in the dream, I know I've been to that place before. Yeah, when I wake up, I'm like, I don't think I've ever dreamed of that before. But in the dream, I remember, and it's like, oh, I'm back here. Remember this? And in the dream, I know that I dreamed about it before, but I don't know that I'm dreaming currently. It's very strange. Where I'm awake enough or lucid enough to be like, oh yeah, this place, and I know this place, and I know these things. And then I wake up and I'm like, right, I don't think I've dreamed of that before. Why the fuck do I have a memory of dreaming of that?
Yeah. I know people have had dreams about repeating the same dream, almost like a loop. And then I've also seen, and I've only experienced it once in my life, of ending a dream that was the first time having that dream, and it was a progressive story. And I remembered it. I woke up, didn't really think much about it, just thought it was kind of strange. The people I met in the dream, I hadn't met in real life, but they were very distinct. And then, like, three months later, at least, if not more, I want to say it was between like 3 and 6 months later, I had another dream of going back to that place, and it was a direct sequel in time with this time's construct of the last time I saw that person that I had never met in my life in that dream. And I was seamless. Like, I went back to the same place knowing this time that I had already been down there and what to look for and what the path looked like. And I went down, and I remember it was like a reunion of seeing these different people in the dreams, of saying hi to them. I haven't seen you in such and such amount of time. And in the dream, the feeling of time span was the exact same as when I woke up from that dream, realizing it had been that time span since the original dream, very much like a sequel to like an episode or something.
So you two like met on the dream, like reunited on the dream plane.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Coordinated your dream.
I was a kid, and I met this other kid, and we played, or we read books or something like that, and I had never met this person in real life. There was no name association, no physical traits, no nothing. And when I woke up, I'm like, oh, that was a weird dream, whatever. And then several months later, we were back at the same spot, and I remember in my dream thinking, oh, that kid lives down there on that path. And so I went back down the path, said, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. We did the dream, and then I woke back up and thought, oh my God, that was almost the exact amount of time ago that I actually had that dream. That's one of the only situations where I look at and I go, see, that could be another dimension, because it was so, and the same one, because it was exactly the same as the prequel several months earlier. There was no deviation from it.
I've never had anything like
in a wheel. Like when we start dreaming, we get to like pick where we go. We can either spin a wheel and be like, fuck it, take me wherever. Or yeah. We can say, hey, you know, I choose to go here. That's why I was experimenting with that hypnagogic state to see what happens, how we get to the places we get to. Mm-hmm. Because like we were talking about earlier, the people that you don't know in dreams, like Joe was saying, when you were at a place and you're like, I've dreamed of this before, I've been here before. Two theories that I have are either we get to choose to go back there in the dream world, or you're entering someone else's consciousness in another dimension and they've been there before and they're having that thought and you're just experiencing it with them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're sharing a consciousness at that moment. Then it made me think, though, what if someone's doing that to me right now? What if someone's having a dream and they're like, I had a dream I was doing a podcast and I was talking about it.
Well, dude, before we get out of here, is there anything else you want to cover? Any other interesting ideas you got on any of all this shit?
On the dreaming?
Whatever. If we're talking shit on Biden, we could do that.
Yeah, we talk whatever you want. I can go pretty far down. There's nothing really I shy away from. But
I saw in your email you were talking about magic. Are you talking about dream? Let me pull it up. Dream magic or like
sex magic?
Magic. Oh, okay. So which is what's in your book?
Which is what's in my book?
So do you dabble in that? Do you pump and order and do magic spell?
No, I have not actually yet. I'm still trying to, you know, learn and do that stuff, but learn how to do that stuff, I guess, and learn about that stuff. But I kind of, you know, it was kind of a weird thing because dreaming became before I kind of really stumbled onto the concept of sex magic. But like, I just felt this, like, you know, I like, speaking of dreaming, like when I get stories, they're kind of like remembering a dream. That's why sometimes I get criticism, you know, especially when I do like literary stuff, but like, well, you need to describe the room more. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Like, I know I'm in a, it's like when you're trying to remember a dream and you know, you don't get all those details. And I'm like, I don't have the details. I just have the general gist of what happened in the dream. So I don't know. It was coming to me anyway with that stuff, the sex magic stuff, but I didn't stumble upon it till later. And it was quite weird. You know, again, we talk about, you know, the dreams and everything like that. It was quite weird because some of the stuff that I was stumbling upon was in my novel and I didn't like references in there. And I didn't know that this had anything to do with like, you know, what that's, the, you know, the stuff that has to do with sex magic. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So I guess somewhere I'm on the right track here if I'm putting that stuff in there. But I do personally, though, at least for me, you know, feel that that's kind of where, you know, my path is towards, you know, taking back my personal power. And I think it's honestly it's an unexplored area that I think can really deliver a lot of power to humanity. Yeah, you know, if we have such an embrace, because I think it combines our kind of, you know, I've come from the belief that humans are animal and then something else, whatever you want to call it, soul, spirit, or whatever. And we're actually a combination of two. So we're actually a I don't know what that would be called. I forget
hybrid. The term.
Hybrid. Yes. Thank you. There you go. That was the term I was looking for. So we're a hybrid. And when we kind of fight against our animal side, which society a lot of times, you know, pushes us towards, you know, we're fighting against half of ourselves. And if we can learn to kind of control those two and work in balance, I think we're actually more powerful. I think we're actually very, very powerful, more powerful than, you know, we could probably, you know, than a lot of people would probably guess. And I think that's why we have so much mind fuckery going on, right? In our society, is because we are so powerful and they don't want that, you know, that power to come to light.
So just, I was interested in that because that kind of thing, the sex magic, all that is a very Crowley type of thing. And that's what people equate it to. Whenever they hear somebody say sex magic, they think Aleister Crowley and his butt fucking his servant in the desert and all this weird stuff.
I never even heard of this. Dude. Oh, you know what? That's okay. You're talking about like the elites and all that stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So some people would equate that to, you know, the elite, what the elites do, or, you know,
right,
Satanists or Luciferians or whatever. But I think I don't have a problem with people doing that as long as you're not like doing it to kill somebody or, you know, whatever. Like, I think there's a fine line in there somewhere. There's some people that think all of that is witchcraft and that it's very evil and against God. But that could be a construct of the church to keep us from knowing how powerful we are, like you said. So there's probably some middle ground like usual.
Yeah, I think I personally think that it's a construct because it is such a powerful thing. So it's made to look like it's satanic and it's evil and it's debauchery. And they put like the ugly side, and you know, who knows if, you know, I mean, I like anything, I'm sure it can be abused and, you know, used, you know, in a not good fashion. Just like any magic or any kind of energetic work can be done for ill will and can be done in ways that aren't in balance with the natural world. And so, but I think that's why that's the predominant, you know, it either goes to one or the other. People confuse sex magic with tantric, which is different.
I'm going to ask like, that.
Yeah, that's, from my understanding, I've never done tantric either, but I mean, from my understanding and research, I mean, tantric is more of a meditative, it has more in common to do with like yoga and Buddhism meditation than what we're talking about with like sex magic. And sex magic, you know, is either portrayed as that, which is fine, because that's a tool to help us, you know, calm our mind and gain control of the mind and all that, which is nice to, like you said, to shut down so you can dream, right? And then where it goes into, like I said, the satanic stuff, and it's, you know, very, you know, it's debauchery and it's just, you know, it's humanity at its worst and stuff like that. And I don't think that's either one. I think that's done to push away from what the truth of it is. And it isn't a very powerful thing. I would, if anyone listening out there is interested in it and a different version, I would recommend, where I stumbled upon it first was the book called The Magdalene Manuscript. And I think, you know, that portrays it as something completely different. And to me, when I read that book, that really resonated with me and said, wow, okay, yes, this feels right. This feels like this is something substantial.
What's it called again?
It's called The Magdalene Manuscript. It came out in around 2000. It came out right before Dan Brown's, what was that book? Da Vinci Code. It came out right before Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code, which is another reason why there are several things that were red flagged to me that this might be legit. But one of the things is like, oh, well, they boasted that up to kind of cover up what this was trying to say. You know, yeah, because then everyone got distracted by that and no one's going to notice this other book coming out that also claims similar stuff but goes a lot more in depth.
Crazy. Yeah, I think I agree with you, because it's a tool, and the old hammer argument where you can use a hammer to pound a nail, or you can bash somebody in the fucking skull with it.
Skull with it, yeah.
It's not the hammer's fault. It's not the sex magic or the crystals or the whatever else you're doing. It's not the fault, unless you're using it for evil. It's just a thing that exists.
It's your intention.
Exactly.
Or guns.
Yeah. In my opinion, our three biggest, as humans, weapons are the masculine, the feminine, and an orgasm is always what I've come to. At least at this point in my life. Maybe it'll change a year or two from now. I'll have something different to say. But that's kind of the realization I've come. And I think they're, like you said, they're weapons. And the weapons need to, first off, a warrior needs to have control of the mind, control of the body to use the weapons. The weapon can be the greatest weapon ever, but if they're not skilled in using it, they're not going to be able to do anything with it. And so that's why we have, you know, that's why like sex itself is not necessary. It's the weapon, but we're not using it. We're just clumsily like throwing it around. And I said,
mold.
Yeah. And I think if you use it on, like you said, for evil, you can be skilled with this weapon and you can use it to lop people's heads off and just, you know, absolutely terrorize them with it. Or you can use it to defend yourself and get out of, you know, a bad situation. And, you know,
right. And that would be the distinction between the elites using this same thing and people pointing at it and saying, oh, that's evil because look, it's like, well, yeah, they're using it evilly. You can use it.
Yeah. You're using it evilly. You're using it for the opposite of what it was, you know, meant to be used for.
Isn't that the argument though, for most things, is whether it be a physical object and let's inanimate an ideology, that takes hold of, yes, you could use it both directions. Every single time that you come up with something that you are in the control of, whether it be intent or action or both, it ends up being, you always have two sides of the coin, but you don't have to look at the negative uses by other or evil people as the only use for that.
Exactly.
I mean, we see this with, you know, destructive elements, whether it be
in finance or weapons of military, different things like that. It's like, they're just tools. A hammer is a tool, but it's one of the most common murder weapons that they find is hammers.
And no, like, AR-15s are, you know that.
Oh, right. It's scary as fuck they give you PTSD if you shoot them. But yeah, I think that's more of a common argument with most things is some people have a train of thought. Yeah, you can see this with religion as a whole and nothing specific about the religions is how many religions do people follow that are beautiful versions of how humans should live life and they practice what they preach and they embrace the, I guess you could say, white magic side of it. And then you have people that they use the exact same thing. There's a lyric by the band Bad Religion where they say, talking about the American Jesus, and they say he's the motive and the conscience of a murderer. And I'm like, that is exactly what it is. You have people that say, why did you murder that person? No, God told me to. And at the same time, that person, when they get sent to prison, they'll go to a church service and they'll say, oh, you know, God changed my life. I wouldn't have ever met this, you know, end were it not for me doing bad things that put me here. And then I found God and now he's changed my life and I'm a new person. It's all, you can always have those two sides to every coin, regardless of what it is. And I think that lack of understanding that just because somebody uses something for a nefarious or evil purpose doesn't mean that what they're using is bad. It's the person and the evil person and their intention, regardless of how they extradite their actions. The inanimate thing is not the problem, because that can also be used for good or to combat the very evil that they're using it for.
Well, yeah, and some of the people that will say the white magic versus black magic, it's all black magic because it's all witchcraft. Those same people practice white magic all the time. It's called praying.
I was just...
They don't realize that's exactly what the fuck they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. You can argue with me, send me all the hate emails, whatever, I don't care.
One thing I do know, your fucking beard is sex magic.
My, thank you.
Real quick, too, just to let the listeners know, I looked it up on my phone. I looked up his book on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It is not currently available for pre-order on Amazon, but you can pre-order it on Barnes & Noble. And you can also get the Kindle version right now on Amazon, but the paperback is on pre-order at Barnes & Noble.
See, that likes me, that makes me think maybe I'm on the right track, because when this book first went on pre-order, it was on pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble suddenly mysteriously dropped it. The publisher's website went down, like, immediately when the book was out. Then they got, Barnes & Noble came back, like, a day later, and the publisher got their website up. Now you're telling me that it's dropped from Amazon, so they keep...
Yeah, they don't even... They give an image if you're trying to get it on the Kindle, but as soon as you click on the paperback version, it says, this item is not currently available or isn't available yet. For the paperback, but just a word of encouragement, if that is indeed what is going on with your book, then you know you're doing something right.
Exactly. That's what I said. I know I'm doing something right if it's being said.
If you're not getting any opposition, man, then you are doing something wrong.
Exactly. I will lean into the controversy.
Thanks for coming
on, dude. Besides where to get your book, which Ben just explained, he stole my thunder. Tell everybody where they can find you and get a hold of you if they have any questions or you know, whatever else to say.
I'm on Twitter. So my Twitter handle is... I'm sorry?
You said I'm on Twitter. I said I'm sorry.
Oh, well, yeah, that's all right. I hide out in the writing community where we're a little bubble. We don't talk. we just kick anyone out. No, it's actually been a pretty good experience because, like I said, I just stick to the writing philosophical.
Yeah, stay away from the politics, you'll be fine.
Exactly. We just all make an agreement to stay away from politics. Some people try bringing the politics in. I'm just like, click, not interested in that tweet. But anyway, I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Matthew, MATTHEW, A as in apple, and then Basil, which is spelled just like the spice, but with an E on the end. And I might be, I have a YouTube channel that doesn't currently have anything on it. I might be adding something onto it. It's called the Conjuring Pen. Like I said, right now it doesn't have anything onto it. I'm thinking about maybe doing like a little book discussion series about some of the themes, but I don't know. I'm not good on camera one-on-one, so I don't know how that'll work out, but we'll see. But right now, if you want to reach out to me, it's pretty much just going to be Twitter.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, if anybody has any questions for him, hit him up. Inundate him. Inundate yes. us. Inundate. I did want to say at the beginning, I totally forgot at the beginning, but for all the people that always send me stuff, like articles and reels and all that stuff, I'm sorry I don't always respond to all of you. I try to watch and read all the shit you send, but it gets to be a lot, and I drive for a living, so I can't always do it. But don't stop sending them just because I don't respond. We love it anyway. But well, thanks for listening, everybody, and keep your buttholes tight for those homosexual Nazis.
Gay.
Yeah.